is just getting into the account. Gotta love that, right? How is everyone today? Hey, Jill. Hey, Sarah. Hey, Susan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. I'm good. Now that the technical issues are resolved and, you know, kind of recentering and, you know, how that can make you feel a little bit frantic.
Are you feeling better now as well?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so good. Much for asking. For those of you who didn't know, I've been having a few health challenges the past month, and it's not been so fun, but it's a really good example of why I build a team and a business that allows me to put a lot of attention to what I need. So, and that's what we're really here helping encourage. I got it. You know, I'm facing some chronic pain, facing some exhaustion. Yeah, hold on 1 second. Someone is. Mute everyone. Feel free to unmute yourself. But I've been facing some chronic pain, some exhaustion that's frankly made working really tough the last few weeks. And I had to take kind of a 10-day off stretch. And thankfully, I did not lose my mind because I have an amazing team and fantastic clients who I love working with who supported me through that. So feels like we're on the other side, heading in the right direction, and certainly something that I'm happy to talk to anyone at any time about how to do for your business. Because if you've worked with me for a month or for several years, you probably know my mantra around really giving yourself the space and building your business in a way that you can walk away. If you get hit by a bus, you can take the time you need to heal. And that is just so important to the sustainability of your business, but also the sustainability of your sanity. So, and you can also hear probably my kitty Jack. He says hello. He's got kitty ghosts and is running back and forth on the other side of the camera right now. But welcome. Okay, so I've been talking about what's going on with me. I would love to hear any updates from the group. And thank you so much, Jill. I'm very glad to say that I am on the mend and heading in the right direction there. A few other people joined, so let's see who I've missed. Hey, Karen. Hey, Nicola. So, Engar, I don't recognize your screen name. So let us know who you are. And if you guys want to give a little bit of an update, either speaking out, chatting, or we can certainly dive in and start talking about this month's juicy topic or whatever else is top of mind for you guys. So any updates, any wins we should celebrate? Anyone who's brand new here, I think I'm mostly recognizing everyone, but if we have any new members, doors are open right now. So we have new members joining every day. So shout out if you are new here. And let me know what's been going on with your business. I'm seeing a lot of really cool wins and a lot of great accountability going on in the Facebook group right now. Anything anyone wants to start with?
This is Karen.
Hey.
Hi. Glad to hear you're feeling a little bit better. Hopefully that's the end of the troubled parts. So in terms of when, I guess I opened a studio space.
Yes.
Was kind of, it kind of fell into my lap. I had kind of put that, I always wanted one. It always felt like, I should get one. But in Toronto, it's really expensive to rent commercial space. And then you have the other hurdle of not always wanting animals in the space. So I had tried, and then like based on some recommendations, I had tried to rent places like on a daily basis. And I kind of hated it because it meant arranging with somebody and then you're so confined by the hours that you actually rent. And you, so like, it's just like a lot of stress in my head about, okay, I got to be done by this time because I have to be able to pack up, load the car. And I needed somebody to help me load the car, which usually meant a my husband. So as he was saying, he was now working in two businesses, his own and mine. So I kind of just put, oh, okay, whatever. I just won't worry about it. And then it somewhat fell into my lap. I have a friend that is a, as I always refer to her, is a real artist, paints and, you know, fine art, that kind of thing. And she said, oh, you know, there's a studio space coming up where she has been there for like 18 years. And I don't know, because she's like, it's associated with an art gallery and all of this. And I'm like, they're not going to allow dogs. And anyway, I talked to the person. They're like, well, we have a board and they look at every application. I don't think it would be a problem. Just put in your application what you want. And they approved it. And because it's the arts world, like, which I'm learning a whole lot about now, because this is a whole different world to me, they actually get rent relief from the city, which means my rent is really quite reasonable.
That's fantastic. And so what are you using the studio space? Obviously for client shoots coming in.
Yeah.
You talked about not having to kind of grab all your equipment and bring it from place to place to place. Mm-hmm. But how else has it changed your business? How has it changed your products at all or your services at all? How you're packaging things, how you're thinking about time?
Yeah, so one thing that it's like some of the benefits has done is one thing, it's I actually have a schedule now. Before, because I worked for myself, it was like, oh, well, here's the, you know, I would at the beginning of the month think about things I want to do, but ultimately, let's see how it goes. But one of the things I did was like, okay, I have to be in the studio this day, and what am I going to do there? Because I still am taking back and forth like a laptop. I'm taking back and forth my actual camera because I just am sure if I want to leave it there. So I have to know what I'm going to do. And so it's made me plan my day. I've been, like, since September 1st, I've been super productive. And then I just because I know what I want to do and I bring the stuff for something I need to do. And then the other thing is because it is associated with an art gallery and the way my space is, it's kind of got like three areas. So now I have a little art gallery for all of my work that is not pet photography. It's more of, you know, wildlife and fine art stuff. And I've made it into a little gallery and I'm selling prints. So it's just, it's changed a lot of things. And I don't know if it's just a headspace that I'm in now, but or if it's the time of year, because usually this time of year is busier for me anyway, but I've had a lot of opportunities like just come out of the blue. Like, and I don't know if it's, I feel more confident and therefore I'm putting myself out there. I haven't figured that out, but it's been really like, I'm heading to the end of September going, okay. And I did my first little event. I've never been successful at an event. Partly, yeah, I did an ice cream social. For the, it was kind of like a soft opening for me, and I think part of me is that, you know, because I didn't have a space, and then, you know, I had to get enough people to sign up in order to think that renting the space was worth it, and so, you know, you just kind of don't really put it much work into it. But about 10 days before, I decided, okay, I'm doing this, so let's do it. The space is there. I'm going to do it. And if nobody shows up, I'll just cry in my coffee afterwards. So I contacted a local vendor that does purely doggy ice cream, like frozen treats. He was like, yeah, I'll deliver it to you. Not a problem. We figured out how to get the event on media, like local media. I connected with the influencers that I've known on Instagram forever, but never asked anything of them. They all spread it, and I literally went door to door in, like, the place where my studio is a little bit of a new area for me, so I went door to door to pet businesses, introduced myself, left cards, that kind of thing, and I think we had, like, almost 30 dogs show up, and I took photos, and they paid for those photos.
How many?
30. Oh, that's not me. I don't know. It wasn't me.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah.
Put everyone on mute.
Okay, I'll unmute myself.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. So that was, so I had about 30 dogs show up. I made it that they would get a headshot. They paid for it. And I had some people buy prints because they wanted, I was, giving them digital files because it was just awful. I did it in conjunction with the town has a, what they call party in the lanes. They have a lot of little lanes, laneways in the downtown core. Like that's the other thing. I'm in the downtown core of a smaller city, but it's the downtown core. And I'm also learning about like these business improvement associations. So they have one here. And they were just like, oh my goodness, because all these dogs showed up and like media was there and stuff. And these are like influencers with thousands of followers. And they're just like, wow, you're just bringing all these cute puppies. And yeah, it's been a real learning experience for me.
That's fantastic, Karen. Congratulations. That's exactly
thank you.
What I love to hear. And you know what? There's something really magical about having your business kind of have its own four walls. And I have to tell you, that's a debate that I've gone back and forth with almost daily with Cause Digital and with working with Dog, because I only have a couple local team members here. Even if I had office space, it would, like you, mostly be me just working there. But there is something so powerful to have a physical location in an area where you are trying to create community for yourself, and being a local pet photographer, being a local photographer and a local member of the art scene, you're starting to see how in some ways people's mindset about you can also change.
Yeah.
This is where I work out of.
Mm-hmm. And I think for me, it's that my mindset has changed. Yeah. Even if in a year I decide, you know what, it was a good run. I'm trying to, as Nick will often say, it's just an experiment. And, because I really freaked out about doing this. But I thought, okay, in a year I can actually pull up sticks and that's okay. But I think just my mindset will have changed that I'm a legit business.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And I was going to say that second piece of this changing your own mindset. And you didn't mention this other benefit that I see with physical space being very separate from home space, which is it's a lot easier to shut down or walk away at the end mm-hmm. of the day. You know, as petpreneurs, as entrepreneurs, we are very almost always A-type personalities. You know, we want to get out there, we want to do, and it is really hard for us to just shut down and walk away and take the time that we need sometimes. And I don't know if you're doing that or if this space has affected that at all, but what I often see with people who make that shift into having some kind of physical space that they work out of, whether it's literally like closing a door in a room on another floor of the house that you don't go to that often, or renting a space, buying a space that's specifically for the business and you have to travel outside of your house to get to, it puts those kind of barriers in place to make it a little harder to work 24/7.
Yeah. And
that ultimately, I am a strong believer that putting those barriers in place makes you actually a lot better at what you do, ultimately, because you're able to walk away, get recharged, and then come back with that re-energized feeling.
Yeah, I'm so excited to go to my studio when I do. Like, I get to go to my studio. And the other really good side benefit is over time, there'd been a lot of, it's not scope creep, but stuff creep in my house. You know, like you buy this, where do you put it? You put it here. It's all out of my place now. My place looks so much better. Like, I just feel it's clear.
Gosh. Well, yeah, and absolutely. And we should probably talk about a few other things, but I want to note that having a little space for your business is the best marriage counseling you can buy. When I started Cause, Doris and I were living in this tiny little 680 square foot condo, and every day she'd come home from work and I and Cause would have exploded all over the condo. You know, it was just me, my paperwork, my work stuff, kind of all over the place. And we were a mess, to be completely honest. You know, this is the love of my life. And she is incredibly supportive of me. But we were a mess because she came into this environment and all of a sudden it felt like she never got to leave offices. She was working in office away and then she was coming home and living in my office. And when we decided to buy the multifamily and really just carve out more space for us and more space for the business because we needed it, we stopped fighting. Mm-hmm. That's not to say we don't ever fight, but I'll say, you know, personally, professionally, everything got better and everything got easier because we had that space. So very often as business owners, like you mentioned, Karen, the idea of cost, the idea of being tied to a lease, being tied to a specific investment can be really scary. But when it's the right investment, oh man, it pays dividends and it makes everything so much cheaper and easier to do. So thank you so much for sharing, Karen, and congratulations.
Thank you.
We have to celebrate that more. I did notice it in the Facebook group, but we have to celebrate that win. And as you kind of discover more about your mindset, I'd love to see you share more of it as you as you journey down that road. So welcome. I see we do have one new member who has joined the call and thought they'd be able to kind of privately creep. I will not call you out unless you choose to introduce yourself to the group, but I do welcome you to introduce yourself to the group. My name is Jane. I'm co-owner here at Working With Dog and along with Nick. And I'm kind of head of the science department here. Processes, analytics, going in and deep diving, problem solving, data. I love that. It's my jam. I run a full service marketing agency in addition to Working With Dog. And I love building teams that last a lifetime. I love building sustainability into pet businesses. And I've been in this space for 17 years coming out of the sheltering environment. So feel free to ask anything, everything during this Q&A, and if you have any questions about membership as well, I am perfectly happy to give a little bit of an overview because I know it can be a little overwhelming when you first come in and kind of realize everything you now have access to. I'm seeing some questions. So Sarah mentioned, can I talk about the redirection plugin? Absolutely. And if you have specific questions that you want to make sure that we touch on today, this Q&A, obviously, you know, it's really up to you to let me know what you want to talk about. I'm happy and going to talk a little bit about getting to yes and share some of the resources and ways you can do that more easily, because that's, of course, sales and a foundation of our businesses. But Sarah had asked about how do you take a piece of content or a page on a website, and if you want to take that and move it to a new website or move it somewhere else, how do you do that? Is it an SEO no-no, which I do tend to talk a lot about SEO here at Working With Dog. I don't pretend to be the be-all, end-all SEO expert. I actually have three members of my team who this is all they do. SEO is what they do 24/7, all day, every day. And they are far more versed than I am, but I am your portal to help get those questions answered. So I had mentioned to Sarah that if you have any time where you need to change your URL structures on your website, or say you wrote this amazing blog, and now you've suddenly rebranded and you're moving things to a new whole new website, and maybe you're even keeping that original website, so you want to take this piece of content and put it on the new blog, new website, you can do that. It's not going to be terrible for you. I do recommend that you use a plugin called Redirection or similar. Redirection is for WordPress, and I am actually going to pull it up. One second. And I will log in. Show you how this works. So sharing my screen. Should be able to see my screen now. Let me know if you're having any trouble. Let's see. Yay. Okay. So using a plugin that helps you redirect different URLs from one to another can be super helpful. Let me make sure that I have it on this site. This is, here we go. Okay, obviously I have not updated my plugins in a bit, which is something I recommend you all do at least monthly. But here, if you have redirection and you go in and you say, essentially, okay, I'm gonna go over to redirects here. And here, I love this plugin because it's really well used. There are so many other websites out there who are using it. They do keep it up to date. It's got great support. If you have any issues, you can pretty much just reach out and usually get a response from them or the community fairly quickly. It's free, which is also amazing. But as you can see, the way that it works here is, say you have a blog that you want to redirect. You can say, okay, I want to do this page on causedigitalmarketing.com and test post. So say I have a URL that this is the blog post that I want to move somewhere else. You go in, you put that there. You say, do I want it to be an exact match to this URL in any order? Do I want to potentially pull part of that URL and not all of it? Be careful with this. I always use exact match because when you're using a lot of redirects on your site and when your site gets, say 5, 10, 15, 20 years old, which I've worked on some of the world's largest 20 plus year old websites. After 20 years of building redirects, it becomes quite a ball of yarn to just unravel. And if you're not using the exact match parameters, I've seen entire sections of sites go down because someone doesn't realize that some old part of some website or some redirect is pointing to multiple different places. So I do suggest use exact match. And then you can say, okay, this is where it's coming from. This is where I want it to go. So if you want to target it to go to somewhere else, you can say new website.com/new post URL. You just click add redirect, you go back to this original URL, and you make sure that it's now going to the correct URL. And that's it. It's as simple as clicking add redirect. Again, don't go crazy with this. This is not something to use every single day because after 20 years, after 5 years, or even just a few years, it can become a bit of a ball of yarn to unravel. Also with redirects, if you are going in and you're creating redirects fairly regularly, you want to make sure that at least every quarter you're going through this list and looking at what are all the redirects in my system and are there any that are jumping more than one page. So an example of that is if I have this test post and then I link it to this new URL and then I want to go from that new URL to a third place, a lot of people just leave this original redirect in place as it is and let the browsers basically take you from page one to page two to page three before they get a lot of content. That takes a long time in a browser to do, and it's also really bad for SEO. Google will not hop more than twice for any redirect, so if you have more than two redirects leading to anywhere, you essentially lose any value you're trying to bring to get Google to notice that page. So once a quarter, just put it in your calendar and say, I'm going to go and I'm going to look through my redirects and make sure that they're all still up to date, that they're not doing that multi-page hopping, and that I am retiring any that I don't need anymore so that you're not ending up with the multi-headed hydra that can become redirects over time. Let's see, looks like there's a few questions coming in. Okay, oh, yay, okay, great. So any questions about that? I know that's just a quick little tool tip, but it is a fantastic tool that we use a lot here at Cause and is just so helpful not to think that you have to use a developer to get that done. Let's see. And no problem. So Sarah says, so you keep the blog post published and go on the original website and put the full content on the new website? No. So what you can do is when you take the old piece of content from the old website and put it onto the new website, you can unpublish that page and just put in a redirect. The redirect is not dependent on you having a live published page on the original website. Karen says, after a period of time, can you delete the redirect because the SEO will have built on the new site? You can. It all depends on how many kind of inbound links you have going from that first site's page to the second site. And with the first site, if you have any internal links, like if you link in your navigation, if you link through other blog posts, if you link through any other landing pages to that old piece of content, remember that all those links will die if you kill that redirect. So just be prepared for that. If you've ever done kind of a media push of that page, if you've gone out and, as Karen was talking about, go to influencers, go to local media, gone on social media and really gotten that page a lot of attention, I will usually keep that redirect in place indefinitely, because out in the world, you don't have the ability to go out and say to everyone, well, you could, but it's really time intensive, to say, hey, this was the old home of this page. This is the new home of this page. Can you change the link? And if it's social media posts, obviously they can't do that. So always having that redirect in place can be helpful. Let's see.
Hey, Jane, I have a question about redirects.
Absolutely.
So because I use that same plugin and I was having an issue, and I don't know if you've ever experienced this or maybe it's just because I was logged into the site, but basically, like, if I had a page that was my website slash test one, and then I had that redirect to new page, and then I unpublished that original page, mm-hmm. I found that I also had to go in and redirect, like, the original WordPress URL. It's like, it, you know, it's the one that's like yourwebsite.com/?=R107, something like that.
That's a really good point, Taryn. So what Taryn's talking about is when you have a WordPress site, or a lot of CMSs do this, a lot of different content management systems do this. If you're using internal linking functions, meaning, and I know we're getting a little technical here, so please stop me and please be like, Jane, wait, I don't get that. There are no bad questions here, especially as we're diving a little more technical than usual here. But when you go in to WordPress and you're on a page or a blog or anywhere, and you're essentially saying, okay, I want to add a link to this page. If you're using the functionality within WordPress that you type in, like, here's the page that I want to link to, and having WordPress generate that link instead of typing in the full URL yourself, the way WordPress does that, and Taryn, is that the way you're creating links usually on your site?
Yeah, so when I type in the title, I don't know if it's a plugin that I have or something, but it automatically just takes the title and makes that into the official URL of the page. But I also have the functionality to be able to change that if I want to make it shorter.
Right, right, exactly. So when, Taryn, you're creating those links, or when you're using those links on like the new page that links back to that original page, if you're using that native WordPress functionality, the way WordPress does it is by unique ID, which is that question mark equals the some gobbledygook, usually numbers. And the reason why WordPress has those unique IDs is in case you ever change your URL structures, your inbound or internal links to different parts of your site will still work. It does create that complication with the redirection plugin. So thank you for bringing that up. So when you're creating a redirect from any page, and if you are using, if you're usually going into WordPress or your CMS and letting it kind of identify what that link is for you, usually you want to go in, grab that gobbledygook URL as well, and put in a second redirect for that to make sure that both are covered. Otherwise, you will see one of them break versus one of them working. Make sense?
Yes, thank you very much. I thought that I was doing something wrong. I was like, why isn't this working?
It's a totally native behavior, and the reason why WordPress does it like that is to ultimately help you in the long run. But it does create that complication and that kind of little side effect with some plugins. So it's a good thing, but it's just something to be aware of. Sarah mentions and asks, when I say unpublish the original content, do I mean trash it or keep it as a draft? Or does it not matter because it lives on the new site now? It doesn't matter. If you want to delete it to kind of keep your WordPress clean and make sure that you don't have like dozens or hundreds even of unpublished pages as drafts that you'll never actually publish, you can delete those. If for some reason you want to keep the page there because you're not exactly sure if you're always going to keep it on the other website, then I would just keep it as a draft and unpublish it there. Awesome. So Sarah says thumbs up. So any other questions about that? Or about redirects or kind of WordPress technical issues in the background. And by the way, I know a couple of you are WordPress savvy, so please jump in and let us know if you have any specific tips around this as well. I know I can't know everything, and I'm sure you have things to add. Okay. So, if you have any other questions, if you have any other things that you want to workshop today, please, you know, start the video, just call out or write in the chat if you're feeling a little shy, and let me know. I'm more than happy to focus on whatever today. But this month, as I mentioned, is all about getting to yes. And this month's theme is all about how do you make it easier on yourself and your customer to say yes to an actual sale. Has anyone used the processes there? Is anyone in the process, or have you created kind of the no-brainer deal that we've talked about in the past, or are you thinking about creating one? Any brave souls want to share?
Well, I can tell you that I sold out my mini sessions, well, almost sold out my mini sessions in like record time. So that was really good. Just even with one email and like six social media posts, I filled almost all of them. And I think the no-brainer deal that I'm giving for those is it's only a $49 session fee. Now, granted, it's only 15 minutes in the studio and you have to buy everything else, but generally it's kind of hard to say no to.
Absolutely. And that oftentimes, thank you for sharing, Taryn.
Yes.
Oftentimes we call that a loss leader. Or the idea is to go out the door with something that is really just kind of unbelievable value, unbelievably cheap, unbelievably amazing, something that kind of no one wants to say no to. And that while your clients are coming in, they're only getting 15 minutes with you, and yes, they're still buying the photos or the products at the end of that. Everyone can pretty much understand that value of, wow, you know, a $49 fee with this amazing photographer, getting her brain and her lens focused on me for 15 minutes is just like mind blowing. So that's exactly the idea behind the no-brainer deal and the idea of creating bundles that really, you know, are profitable for you, bring people in the door, but also start building that trust and making that yes so much easier. So thank you so much, Taryn.
Yeah.
Any other brave souls want to share? Well, I'll share one, for example. And then I want to dive into how to make this easier on yourself, because it can be pretty high stress to try to think of these things. So earlier this year, or I'd say late last year, I created a solution basically based on interaction with you guys. And it was for Cause Digital Marketing. And excuse me. The idea was that you guys were constantly coming and talking about, you know, these challenges with social media or these challenges with these specific marketing channels, whether it's your blog, your newsletter, LinkedIn, you know, kind of you name it. And struggling with really, you know, being DIYers. I mean, I think there's a really core, strong heart of DIYers in the working with dog community and people who love to learn how it works and how to do it themselves, but then also coming up against certain things like, hey, I'm just really not used to having to crank out 500 words in 30 minutes, or I'm really not used to understanding the Instagram algorithms and how to actually ride the waves of them because they're changing like weekly. to continue to be able to build an audience there or whatnot. And through working with you guys, and as many of you know, I use a minimum viable product approach where I'm going out, I'm basically saying, this is my hypothesis, let me try to prove it right or wrong, and doing that in little baby steps. But through working with you, you helped me understand that, hey, as an agency, we don't need to take everything off your plate. You guys are brilliant. You are strong. You are empowered. And sometimes the best way that we can help you is just taking that like one thing off your plate, that one huge pain point, whatever it is. And it differs by channel to channel. So we created our small business boosters. And I created them at a price point of starting at $2.99 a month. Well, I gotta say, I went out the door initially, not really promoting it very heavily, just kind of talking about this as a potential. As you guys probably know about me, with Nick and my approach to sales, we're we're polar opposites, as we are in many things, and that's why we make such great partners. But going out with any kind of hard sale is really tough for me. I have a lot of kind of not enoughness and stuff that comes up, fear that comes up for me that I have to work through. And with these boosters, when I created these boosters, I said, you know what, we can't afford to do this for everyone, but initially I'm going to offer a 3-for-2 deal where if you get any two boosters, then you get a one-on-one session with me once a month included in that. And that, you know, it's three things for the cost of two, essentially. We're able to explain that. We're able to explain that we're taking the biggest pain point of whatever social channels or whatever channels you want off your plate. And it's just exploded. I gotta say, going out the door, I never really anticipated this being a big money driver for cause. It was something that I created because I saw the problem here in working with dog and the challenge that so many of you were facing. And it's now at the point where we actually had to pull back that 3-for-2 offer because the boosters are so popular and so powerful for people that I'm just running out of time in my schedule to give them that extra hour a month. I just don't have the time to offer it anymore. So I want to encourage you, as you're thinking about creating those no-brainer deals, creating those bundles that are premium bundles that help bring in new clients and get them to yes faster, think about what are the kind of biggest, hardest things on their plate that you can solve easily. This does not have to mean that you are bringing your full brain power, your full, you know, everything that you can bring to the table every single time. Oftentimes for these loss leader or for these kind of no-brainer deals, it's actually just about doing what you do best, quick and fast. And that's exactly what Taryn is talking about when she's talking about the little mini sessions too. Doesn't mean that all you're ever going to make from that person is $49 or $299 for one booster. It's something that helps build that relationship immediately that your audience can understand is so valuable to them and helps you continue to build the trust there. And some people go out and they say, well, I'm going to create a no-brainer deal where I'm actually losing money. I have mixed feelings about that. As many of you know, I am a big watcher of business financials. And if you are certain that you can get someone in the door and your product is so valuable and so long term that after 6 months you're going to make back anything you invest in giving them that initial deal, absolutely go for it. Do it. That's where we talk about lifetime value of customers. But if you're going out and your product or your service is a one-time only deal, I wouldn't suggest cutting back so far that you're losing money on that deal, because oftentimes those one-time only deals, you have a high turnover rate of clients. You won't have as many of them coming back and re-upping with you. So being able to make sure that the package that you're building builds in things like recurring revenue, I call it plannable revenue, so that you can project out what you're going to make, or leads to other kind of higher profit margin products in a very short order, can be really important for your business success, for your getting out of the red and into the black and staying there. So I know I just threw a lot at you, and I wanna kind of stop there because money talk, especially around sales, can be really scary and can be really intimidating for a lot of people. Tell me, are you in that camp? Have you guys solved this, encountered this issue? Is this a pain point that is resonating with you as you think about creating your loss leaders, or?
So I'll just chime in again on my mini sessions. They might seem like they would be a loss leader, but they're actually crazy profitable. You know, the way that I have my packages set up, it's, you know, I've got the small, middle, and big. And it's hard for anybody to only choose the small. So most people are going for the medium and the big. But the way that I have them priced, that small one is like enough to not scare them off. So I think just the strategy, anytime that we're thinking about these specials that we're offering, it's like we have to think about the money strategy as well, of like how to make it seem so great and not too scary, but then on the flip side, make sure that we are, you know, being profitable ourselves. And like for the mini sessions specifically, I don't get too many people signing up for like full sessions after that, but it happens. Like every once in a while it happens. And I get people coming back time and time again sometimes. So, you know, it's, there's a lot of psychology behind it, and I just find it fascinating. So.
Absolutely. And so, Karen, you don't have to answer this. And of course, you know, none of you guys have to answer a question that's around personal business. But do you make, if you made what you made on a mini session day every day, or even 50% of your days, how would you feel about your income overall?
I think I'd be making like a bazillion dollars a year. So no, I have my system down, and I can rock these things. It's hard to get people at this time of year. Is so easy to get people in the door because they're thinking about holiday cards. They're thinking about the year end. Like it's the time of year that you have photos taken. My mini sessions that I do in springtime, those are 1,000 times harder to fill. And every year I'm like, why am I doing this? And but yeah, if I can fill them, if I can get people in the door, then it's very profitable. And this time of year, it's just easy. So any photographers out there, like, I know they're a pain in the butt, but I highly recommend them.
Well, and I think Karina recently said the same thing in the Facebook group, where she said she did little mini sessions at an event, charged almost nothing, and ended up making like thousands and thousands of dollars in one day unexpectedly, and had a blast while doing it. So these aren't things that you necessarily do every single day, but I do want to reinforce that even when you come in with kind of that no-brainer deal, where psychologically you're coming in and saying, wow, you know, you're getting this, all these amazing things at this amazing price, there is such huge potential for profitability in your business when you're doing it right. And Karen, you're doing it right. So that's awesome. So Jill mentions, I have 3 events coming up and I'm really hoping they're as profitable as yours. Awesome. Taryn, any suggestions for making one of those events especially profitable, or any hints before we kind of...
Sure. So I do in-person sales right then and there. If there's any way to take the sales offline, I don't know how you do it, Jill, if you're in-person sales or not, but if there's any way to do in-person sales, 100 million times do it. Because I think when I did online sales, like I might be able to sell like $50. I'm not priced that cheap anymore. Yeah. And just make sure that you're pricing for profit, you know?
Yeah, I think my prices are good. I do IPS, but I've never actually done IPS at an event. So that kind of terrifies me.
So Jill, how are you talking to the organizers about promoting you, your ability to be there, and how to engage you in your services while you're there?
I'm not doing any of that stuff. Okay. So the first event that I'm doing is in 3 weeks, and it's the fall festival for our town. And it's not specifically dog focused, but I am usually the only photographer there. So that helps. And this year is the first year I'm actually going to do photos at it. So I have an outdoor setup that I'm going to use with a cute little, like, you know, Halloween-y backdrop-y kind of thing. And so I just thought I would do something easy and not like make it really complicated.
I love that idea. Make it as easy on yourself the day of as possible. Now, leading up to it, I'd love to see you reach out to the organizers and say, hey, how can we share info about if they're bringing their dog with them, or, you know, that this photo booth with you will be available? Make sure talking to the, even if you're paying for the booth, make sure that's a conversation you're having.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely paying for the booth. One of the things that did just happen is I've recently been appointed to the dog park committee for our town. So for good or for bad, it'll be my foray into local politics bullshit. Okay. But we have a weekly town email that goes out, and I'm going to ask them if they could just put a blurb in there about, you know, bringing your pet to the Fall Fest because there'll be photo booth.
Awesome. Good.
So that's the only thing. And I actually am working on an email today to go out to my little tiny list of like 70 people to send that out to those people, because most of them are actually in town people. I mean, most of my list has been built up from the dog event that we have in our town twice a year. So
great. Good. So, you know, going out to any list that you have access to, one thing Karen was mentioning earlier was how she went out to the local influencers who she'd never asked for anything before,
from
reaching out to other organizations. And what you're asking for is a very simple ask. You're not asking them to sell your services for you. You're asking them to tell pet lovers that they should bring their pet, and that the opportunity to get photos with that pet will be there. That is an added value and very much an easy yes for those co-promoters. So it's, and it's something that's invaluable for you, because what I don't want to see happen is a lot of people come to your booth and be like, oh, I left Fido at home today, I didn't realize.
Right.
So any way that you can get that information out there. I would also go to certainly if you have the local list and have permission to use it to the local dog owners, do a targeted Facebook ad to those folks, and do it just from your page. Do it as a basic engagement post, so you're not looking for them to link to their or click to the website or anything like that. But do a post saying, hey, this is coming up, make sure that you're bringing Fido with you. And do that kind of local targeting. Probably $3 to $5 a day would be enough, given where you are.
Cool.
Awesome.
The other thing is that I want to like tie this in, so like a week and a half later is the Halloween party at the little dog bakery in town that I already go to and attend. So I kind of am trying to talk them into letting me do photos there in the same setup. So I already have all the things. I can just basically drag and drop it and do photos there as well. And that way, if people come to the Harvest Festival and forget or don't have their dog, I can say, hey, well, I'm going to be here as well. So I'm talking to Wolfgang about that today. So,
and make sure to, in that case, you know, if you're physically at the Barkery, and you're there for the Halloween celebration, that's something where you two should get together and talk about what are the social media posts you are going to play off each other with. Are there ways that you can share a recipe from them? Are there ways that they can share some of your amazing photos?
Right.
Or tips about dogs and costumes and, you know, the goods and bads of right. that. Whatever that may be, you know, if it's that integral, a partnership for that event, I would have that conversation and say, kind of hold them accountable and be their accountability buddy and get them to say, yes, we're going to do at least one post a week leading up in the 4 weeks prior. Because if you don't get that yes, oftentimes they'll forget and they might promote their own stuff, but then kind of be doing it last minute and it's nothing on them. But if they're doing it last minute, then they're less likely to include something great like you.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I never actually thought about asking them to like do anything with their social media, because I think it's just like whoever's in their store happens to make a Facebook post kind of thing or happens to make an Instagram post. So, but if I actually ask them about plotting it out, maybe we could get something coordinated.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's the way that a lot of petpreneurs operate. And that's also partly why we created Working with Dog and have Working with Dog to help you guys create content plans and content strategies for channels, because it is such a huge opportunity and you see so much more impact when you're doing it strategically instead of just the like, oh, here's the cute pup with the hat on today.
Yeah, I fully admit that's where I struggle so hard with, is getting like my content and all of that stuff planned out and then doing it. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Well, and I'll say you're not alone there. I'd say probably the majority of the folks on this call, I've chatted with more than once about that being a pain point. It is hard to sit down, know what I should post, what's of interest to people, and also know kind of how to keep that going and not fall off with it when you get busy. So obviously outsourcing is always an opportunity. Cause and I are here to help you do that. The boosters actually do include editorial strategies that we suggest for specific goals. But I'm not selling that. I also want to teach you guys to do it for yourself. So if you're struggling with it, I would sit down and what you can do is just write out the channel purpose statement using the Working with Dog template. And let me get you guys the link. So anyone who's kind of feeling this pain, I would really encourage you guys to go and draft your channel purpose statement for whatever channel you're feeling the pain on. And yes, okay. There, that's in the links. Or, oop. There. So draft that. And if you're feeling unsure about it, come to my office hours, come to the next Q&A with me, and I will absolutely look at that with you. And look there, something for the cats to catch. we have little beetles coming into the house right now, and the cats are very excited about them because the catio is right there and the beetles are finding their way in. So if you draft your channel purpose statements, if you're not sure about them, then definitely bring it to my next office hours. We'll look at it together. We can talk about it specifically and look at what you're currently doing on your channels and kind of refine that strategy and then give you concrete next steps to talk to me about next office hours as well. So strongly encourage that. And then if your priorities change, or if you haven't gone through this exercise in about a year, I would encourage you to go back and look at those goals, look at those things, and kind of revise them, because they do change. Your audience changes, your business changes, your priority changes. So going back through and revising those as you're doing your annual planning, and we're about to start kicking off doing that for next year, can be very, very helpful. Does that sound like a good plan, Jill?
Oh, absolutely. And I didn't even think, like, I did the channel purpose statement thing at the retreat last January.
Yeah. Oh my
God, it's been almost a year. And like, I didn't go anywhere with it because just like other stuff happened. And I never even thought about like working on it to like make it correct and do it the right way in any of your work, your office hours. Like, that didn't even dawn on me. So thank you for that reminder. Yeah. Dory appreciates it.
Absolutely. And Nick and I are working on kind of clarifying to you guys, what can you ask? What should you ask during office hours and workshop hours? And really just looking at kind of, this is what I'm trying to do, this is what I have, what next is a great question for either of us. Sometimes we'll just tag each other and pull each other in as well, if it's something that we might both have strong opinions and maybe they differ on. But absolutely, you know, bring things to workshop, bring things to get feedback. I know a number of you have asked recently about kind of monetizing Instagram. And if you haven't seen the office hours from this past week, definitely go back and give a peek, because that's a great example of a question someone came in, asked, and then I kind of outlined, here are some very concrete next steps that you can take to monetize your Instagram more effectively.
Jane, can I just say something about events and mini sessions, and yes. I don't know if Jill's thought of, because the devil's in the details. One of the things that you'll want to think of is how you're going to keep track of who's who. So once you've got, you know, five little white furry dogs, they all start to look the same, and you don't want to get mixed up. So what I find is to have some sort of like physical piece of paper. Mine's developed over the time that I actually have perforated forms. It's all very fancy pants now. But even if it's just literally the name of the person, the name of the dog, and a number. And what I do is between dogs, I take a photo of that paper that they're holding.
Yep.
And then photograph all of the dogs afterwards. And that way, if they've, especially if they've given you money, they want what they want, and you don't want to get it mixed up. So
yeah, that's actually a thing that I've learned from doing shelter photos.
Yeah.
So I go once a month and do pet photos at our local animal or county shelter.
Right.
So there's, you know, 17 pit bulls that all look alike that all need to be photographed. And so I've learned, I photograph their collar number, their tag, the cage number, and them. And that way I can at least every, you know, in between ones, I have who they are. And then I know, you know, from 1 to 10 is this dog.
Right. Yeah. Cause you don't want to get that mixed up. That will now, and if you are set up, one of the things that I have found in doing, if you're doing mini sessions where you actually sell, as opposed to an event where they're just going to get whatever photo they're going to get, but if they're actually going to choose, I have found it really helpful to shoot tethered. They're seeing the images. Yeah, they're seeing the images come off. Yes, you're gonna have to get your lighting right, or you know, at least not be so freaked out about the fact that they're gonna see messy borders and things like that. If you've got examples, they'll know what it'll end up being. But like, okay, what expression do you want? Because I may have five really good images, but I don't know which one you want. And you don't want to have to spend, like, the thing about this is having speed.
Yeah.
Otherwise you're spending way too much money on the back end and you'll just hate them. So I want to know, and I just shoot tether to the Lightroom because I'm comfortable in it, and I just star the one they want. That's your image. Yay. Move on, next.
Yeah. And I've never ever shot tethered before. So I may shoot you a PM to pick your brain about it.
Yeah, do a trial run first so that you know how it's going to come off the camera. Like you don't want to be there going, "Ah, oh, it's not working."
Yeah, oh, that's.
But I just found tethered for me works great. Just you know, don't let dogs trip over cables. That's all.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Karen. That's a great tip. Absolutely. Okay. So I want to make sure that we get a little bit of time to go over this amazing resource that will help make these no-brainer deals and delivering and selling these no-brainer deals so much easier. If you have not already seen it, there is a resource here on Working with Dog called Sales Funnels, Easy Formula, or an Easy Formula for an Automated Sales Sequence. This is for any kind of sales sequence where you want to bring people in and get them to buy by the end of that sequence. But what a lot of the time we're dealing with no-brainer deals is dealing with someone who's new, who doesn't know who you are. And that's a very specific kind of sequence where it's usually a welcome sequence. It's, hey, they've just signed up for your email, or they've just opted into this crazy good offer for a downloadable resource from you. Whatever it is, they're just kind of reaching out and saying for the first time, hey, I might like to know more about you and what you have to offer. So how do you get someone from that point, which is, you know, very high on the sales funnel, through to kind of the first sales conversion? And I'm going to put this link in the chat, if I can get it to pop up. One second. There we go. And in here, there is a resource that is really, really easy to miss, and it's our welcomes email sequence. So if you come here and click on that, it is a formula just created to give you kind of a 5 to 7 email sequence that you can set up to anyone who decides to join your email list, decides to opt in and do a free download from you. You can set this up so that it automatically starts the day that they opt in and ends down the road so that it's staggered. You're not having to figure out and send one email once a month all the time. And the power of this is it's really customized to hit on the right times and the right messages to get that individual person to understand who you are, what you have to offer, and frankly, whether they want to buy from you right now or whether that they may want to just kind of sit on the fence a little bit longer and learn more. And by the way, that's totally okay. We just do our best to help business owners understand if they should buy now. If right now the thing that you're offering is something that they really need, helping them get off the fence and make that immediate decision instead of kind of go into the later game where they say later, 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 and then they get distracted and then they never buy. And then they come back to you a month later and they're like, but I really needed that thing. Remember that thing that you were offering that I didn't realize I needed? This is a way to kind of empower them to make the right choices for themselves. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the call, that's the kind of sales funnel and sales channels, sales strategies that I really love to use, because I don't want, and neither does Nick, neither of us want businesses to buy things that aren't right for them, because ultimately they're not going to get the results that we need them to get, right? If you guys are buying Working with Dog and you're not ready to come in and, you know, really work the system and do the roadmap and use the resources and use the community to your benefit, then you know what, it's just not the right platform for you right now, and that's okay. But if it is, then we want to make sure that you're getting in, you're getting in the door. So with this email sequence, we outline essentially how do you outline 4 to 8 emails. And in it, here's the initial formula. So email number one, and you can write this down, but I'm also going to give you the direct link to this one piece.
Jane, can you just tell me where this is again? Because I can't, I'm on the site and I just didn't see where you got to this from. Sorry.
Oh, absolutely. I did a search for it.
Oh, okay.
To it in the chat.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Q&A, and it's actually, I'm going to put the direct link to look at this page. There you go. So this is the downloadable PDF. You can print it out. You can jot notes, scribble notes all over it. But essentially, in the sequence, email number one, you want to be short and sweet. If you promised something, if you're giving them a freebie or a discount, a download, this is absolutely where you deliver the goods. Make sure that whatever you promised them, they're getting and they don't have to hunt for. It's easy. It's something that they can download right away, or sometimes just including an attachment in the email itself. But don't make them work any farther than they already have for what you promised. Of course, if you're in the UK, you do have to think about GDPR. So if they have not already opted in to receive ongoing communications from you, this is a great time to remind them that they should. That, you know, if they don't, then they're going to hear from you for a little bit to help them use this product or service that you've just given them, this freebie that you've just given them. But when you're done, and then they're not going to hear from you anymore. So make sure to remind them of that and get them, encourage them and make it easy to continue to opt into your larger marketing list. Also, it can be helpful to drop, Nick calls it an interesting brand bomb, of course. So something around your brand statement, or the beginning of your origin story, something a little bit personal, slip that veil a little bit. And if you have a brand video, linking to it, including just a screenshot of the video where it links to kind of learn a little bit more about you and your services and why you do this crazy thing that you do, why you love working with dogs all day and every day, and why you chose to get into this business. Or as Sharon likes to talk about, why your dog's a dick. You know, whatever that might be, slipping that veil and letting people know that you're approachable, letting people know that you're someone they'd like to open another email from. And it's not that you're going to be selling them on things all the time. That, you know what, you're here to provide value to them. And also be a friend. Nick does talk about potentially adding a colorful thank you graphic or a photo. If you are visually inclined, if this is something that is easy for you, then do it. If it is not, don't worry about it. Do not get hooked into the perfection monster here. Usually with Cause Digital, our automated email sequences are like, here's text, here's your link, here's text, here's your link. Because I have such little patience, and frankly, adding design time into anything adds the cost of the project, or adds to the cost of the project. So if I'm not sure I'm gonna keep something a certain way, I'll very often just have us build it as quickly as and simply as we can. And then if it works really well, we may bump it up, we may make it really beautiful. We may bring in designers to say, hey, do something really custom. But I tend to only do that after I know that this welcome sequence is gonna work. And then also kind of setting expectations in the first email. You don't wanna send them a novel, giving them some highlights, remembering the rules of five, where it's, if they look at it for 5 seconds, 5 minutes, or 5 hours, they're getting kind of what's appropriate. So 5 seconds is what is the top headline, where do I find what you promised me, and what's going to happen next. The 5 minutes is if someone actually sat and read the whole email and maybe clicked through to one page on your website, maybe to watch your brand video. They could learn something and take something away. And then 5 hours is if I love this so much, if I am just so enthralled and amazed with what you're sending me and I want to do something right now, I want to spend 5 hours right now doing this, how do I do that? And you can usually solve that with a simple, hey, do you have more questions? Here's where you can email me. So this does not have to be complex or hard or even that pretty at first, depending on your business and your design. You know, dog walkers, pet sitters, dog trainers, you want to look professional, certainly, but getting the message out there and making sure it's the right message, I'd encourage can be more powerful than making it gorgeous at first if that's something that challenges you. So email number two, thinking about, okay, 1 to 2 days later, really giving them something extra that they didn't know you offered. Something sometimes related to the thing that they've just downloaded. So if you've given them a simple workbook for how to get the most out of their pet business photography, or if you've given them a at-home assignment for how to teach their dog to sit, this is your opportunity to check in and also add to. Some businesses find it really helpful to add a layer of accountability in here. Hey, did you do this yet? Maybe you should go and schedule on your calendar some time to review it, or schedule on your calendar time to do like this one section of the workbook. Because what often happens with free downloads or free offers is people will sign up for it and then never actually open it. They will sign up for it and say, oh yeah, I want to look at that again later. It's that later bug. So any way that you can provide additional value, even insofar as just providing some accountability to, hey, let's schedule the time to go over this, can be really, really helpful for bringing people along a little farther. Any questions about that stuff so far? Then 1 to 2 days later, thinking about how do you build the relationship? How do you get a little bit more vulnerable? Consider sharing a little more of your story. You started doing that in the first email, but perhaps sharing why you got into this business or really what makes your heart sing when you see the right results for a client. The idea is not to talk about yourself necessarily, but to help them start to think about the problem and the topic that you had them sign up or that they signed up to learn more about. So make sure that whatever the personal story is, that it does remind them of why they're opting in to hear from you. Make sure that it's related, but without adding a whole bunch more stuff in there. Email number four can be 5 to 7 days after that last email. So again, we're not hitting them every single day. We're not sending emails every single day. But this is a great place to kind of check back in on accountability and also give them some more quick tips. So if you've given them a downloadable workbook, or if you've given them a quick lesson, or something that you're helping them get through, give them some tips that maybe you held back, or find some deeper information that once they get to know the workbook, they're going to be really, really hungry for. This is a great place once they've kind of marinated in your messaging and your resources and your genius for a little while to really just blow up the value and make sure that you're getting them to have that wow place. And then another week after that, this is the first time you're really starting to talk about your products or services. Maybe it's a case study where you're talking about, hey, you know what? I told you what makes my heart sing. Here's an example of some results that we've gotten for some clients and how. Maybe it's a testimonial or product review. But let them know why you're telling them this. I know a lot of us struggle with, hey, you know, I feel like I'm just talking about me, and why should they learn about me, and why would they care about my customers? Make sure that you're expressing that you do care and you understand that this is a serious pain point for them, or something that they're really interested in just learning more about, and you're trying to help them get there and help show them that it is possible. Those testimonials, while they show that you know what you're talking about and that they should buy from you, it simultaneously shows them that this thing that they've been struggling with, or this thing that's been sitting in the back of their mind for so long, is actually attainable. And the psychology of showing them that it is attainable and that you can help them attain it is one of the key factors to getting them to really recognize, okay, yep, I'm ready for this and I'm ready to say yes. See some questions? Oh, yay! I'm so glad that this is helping, Nicola. And Taryn says, the biggest struggle for me is getting people to actually sign up for my mailing list. And Taryn, did you get the email with the strategy there?
The email with the strategy?
Okay, I'm going to email you after. But because we built that for you. For you, and you'll be getting that as part of your booster.
But awesome. Then no, I haven't gotten that yet.
Okay. Let me go back and actually write myself a note right now. So Taryn, but when thinking about getting people to sign up for an email list, helping them understand, why should I? What am I going to get? And this is where doing that channel purpose statement, going through and thinking about what is the business need that I'm fulfilling with this channel. In email, it is almost always nurturing and direct sales. Nurturing, meaning who am I? Why do you care? Why should you trust me? How can I provide you value on a regular basis? This does not have to be a newsletter that's like, here's all the cool stuff happening at my company, or all the cute dogs that I walked this week. For example, Cause does it in a way that we just send out, here are the top trending pet topics of the week, every week. And we're pulling those every single day anyway for our clients. So it's very easy for us to just take those, put them into MailChimp, and send them out once a week with some advice about how to use that for your pet business. And that's a free weekly email that we just send to everyone. Almost everyone signs up for it and stays on that list. The open rates are crazy. And it's a perfect example of me not having to sit down every month and be like, what's going on at Cause? Or what's the new thing that we have to build this week that takes us out of our day-to-day work? I am a huge fan of building newsletters and building email strategy that coincides, it dovetails with stuff you're already doing on a daily basis or a weekly basis for your clients. Because if you're already doing it, then one, it's gonna be very easy for you to share. And then two, it's also really easy to explain to anyone when you're doing a sale, hey, wouldn't it be awesome if not only did you get this list like every day, but it's tailored to you and we're sending out stuff on your behalf about the stuff that we feel is most appropriate to your brand and your audience. That's one of the things that we do for Facebook, where we pull the trending topics, and if we see, oh, you're a cat brand talking about wildlife safety and the need for being indoors, well, there was a piece that came out this week about how wild birds are just dying off in the US, and we're seeing billions fewer wild birds in the US than we did however many decades ago. And, you know, that's a perfect piece for a specific brand like that that sits on message. So we get to go out with that the day it comes out and the day it breaks, and it's usually a lot more powerful for brands that way. So are there things when you're thinking about your newsletter or email sequences or email opt-in, are there pain points or pleasure points that you're solving kind of on a daily basis, on a regular basis, that would be easy for you to share and give away for your clients? Thinking about that, answering that is a first step to getting people to automatically say yes to that email. Another easy way, especially in the US, since you're in California, Taryn, is building like a workbook and saying, here, this is free, or, you know, sign up for my list and you're gonna get this amazing one-time add-on. If you're in the UK, you have to deal with GDPR, so there's a double opt-in there that you need to get. But just offering that one-time value and having a simple checkbox that says, yes, I also want to receive more great, frankly, I want to receive more great shit from you. and that's all the opt-in is, even if you're not exactly sure what you're going to be sending them right away, is a great way to start building that list. Because I also don't like going out with monthly emails until there's a little bit of a list in place. Because at first, if you only have 100 emails on your list, the chances of spending way more time than you're going to earn back, if you're sending out monthly or weekly emails to those folks, you're just not going to see that return there. So does that help, Taryn?
Yeah, I mean, for certain parts of the business, I can see where, you know, puppy. she hears something. We're under attack. I can see where that would like be easy to come up with things. Specifically like my private clients. I feel like I still struggle with what they want, what is something that they would find enough value in. I think right now my sign up is just like, join my adventures on, I don't even know, I don't remember. But yeah, I mean, I get a sign up here and there, and I have a little welcome message that goes out, but like, it's not very much. So I have to think on that some more.
Yeah, I would encourage you to go back, do the channel purpose statement exercise specifically for the consumer-facing email, and think about answering those questions around, you know, what business purpose does it serve? What need does it fill for my audience? And that sounds like the one that you're struggling with, where it's, well, this is not technically a need, right? This is a want. So if it's not a need, what pleasure points might be surrounded in that? What pleasure points might you help them experience on a regular basis? I love your recipe posts. I love the posts where you're talking about, you know, living the Wild West way. I think those are so much fun, and it's one of the very few personal blogs that I do actually read, because it's so just like, well, frankly, come hang out with Taryn, which is awesome. So, you know, maybe there's a little bit of fear of leaning into that too and testing that messaging, where it's like, yeah, you know what? I'm worth hanging out with.
Okay, I've never been the person that anyone wants to hang out with, so so maybe that's one thing. But I think for me, the struggle is like just it's more time, and you know, I love doing the recipe posts. I love. Thank you, Nicola. Oh, you guys, you're my people, so I want to hang out with all you guys too. I think just, I'm sorry, my brain is going really slow today. But yeah, I think just the time it takes, like I love doing the recipe posts, but I know, well, if I'm going to do that, then I have to take pictures along the way. And then, you know, I only have so much time to cook, and like if I have to take pictures, and that's just added stress, and then I've got to edit them, and then I've got to post them, and it's like, oh.
it's not easy enough to do a lot of that.
Yeah. And then I just kind of wonder too, like, is anyone even gonna care? Is anyone even gonna really, you know, want to read this? Does anybody even click through to the blog?
Got your answer in me. Yes, people want to read that. Yes, people care. But I do hear a very big business problem in trying to do that too often and it being too intensive. That's, you know, that's kind of the bonus quarterly post that you want to spend that much time on. So finding ways to simplify, I'd challenge to say maybe the recipe post doesn't need 10 photos and maybe it just needs one good one.
That just makes a lot of sense. Thanks for knocking me over the head with that one.
You're not selling food photography.
I am not. You know whose posts I do love? Holly Montgomery. She does like dog treat posts and everything.
Yep.
I always love those.
Absolutely. So, and actually that brings up a great idea. What are other things that other dog parents would just love? If you're not putting this on your website all the time, and I know your blog does go on your website, but if sometimes you're just doing posts that are via email, you can talk about whatever the heck you want and not confuse Google because it's living in your email. So if you just want to talk about like tips and tricks with your dog that you found, or how to get your dog to say, I love you, or you know, whatever fun dog fact that you've come up with that month or that week, those are easy to share. Presumably could potentially use a photo that you already have, that you've already taken, and are very easy to create in, you know, half an hour or less. So I'd consider, do the channel purpose statement as the next, and then next time we talk or next office hours, bring it and let's go through.
Okay. I will. And Karen, I just saw a comment from Karen that we photographers stress about the photos, and it's so true. It's so true. We're like,
yeah, we can't just put out an iPhone photo.
No.
Not allowed. If you put them out, people are like, they go crazy over them. But you're like, that is such a bad photo.
Well, you can't do that, fine. If I would sometimes question and challenge you on that, but if you can use a photo that you've already taken, mm-hmm. or if you can choose to show one photo instead of 10, you know, those are ways to significantly kind of cut down that editing time in addition to the writing time that you're creating. Videos too, super easy for some people. If videos are easier than written word, then there are apps that charge, I think, 10 cents per minute to to just transcribe whatever video you create. So if you, like one thing that I usually do to get vlogs going is I'll just turn on an audio recorder and record me talking through it, put it into one of those transcription services where it's charging me, you know, free 30 cents, perhaps maybe a dollar if it's a longer audio recording. And then it automatically gives me a transcript that I can edit from, which for me is a lot easier than sitting down and trying to not copy edit as I write, which is a struggle I know for a lot of people. And yeah, Jill, some people, video is way scarier, but for other people, it's actually easier than sitting and writing. So hopefully, you know, you're thinking about what would make this easy for me to just get it out, get a draft, and get some distance from it. Because if we don't have the distance, that's when we start obsessing. That's when we start kind of focusing in and going back and rewriting the same sentence over and over and over again.
Jane, I have another question about video versus written. I would so much rather write. It's just a lot easier for me. Mm-hmm.
Me too.
I'm just wondering, when you send out an email and there's a link to a video versus a link to a blog post, do you see a difference in clicks, in click rates?
Not so much. It's all about what are you giving? What is the offer at the end of that click? And I don't see a huge difference unless it's, well, like Nat and Bill create these beautiful videos, right? And like, that's what they do. So I would imagine that at the end of the click rainbow there, they're gonna see a higher click rate for their video versus something else. If it's you sitting talking with your dog or on your couch, we don't see statistically too much of a difference.
Okay, one other question for you too. If we're sending out emails with something that isn't living on our blog, it's just like a nice little email that goes out just to keep us top of mind. Mm-hmm. I thought every email really was supposed to have a call to action. So it doesn't. It doesn't need to. We can just like, here's an email. Hope you're having a great week. Like, here's a little something for you. And
yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
you can include all the value they need right then and there. And one of my favorite email series that I've seen in the past is just basically a quote of the day, where it's open this, here's your thought starter for the day. And there's no call to action, there's no link, it doesn't go anywhere else. It totally breaks every rule, you know, all my 555 rules. But the idea of these emails is to keep you top of mind and build trust. It doesn't necessarily have to lead to a sale, and it doesn't necessarily have to lead to them learning more deeply about your services every time. When you're in a sales funnel, when you're doing a sales promotion, that's the time when it's really important to make sure it's easy for them to contact you. And my goodness, I have, you guys got to see this.
Hi, buddy.
All the critters. Oh, yeah, no. My little CH boy is coming over here and rubbing my knees and trying to climb me until I pick him up and then he goes away. So he's my little orange boy, if you guys have seen him on social. Okay, Karen, I know we're over time. I see you got to run, but great seeing you. Thank you for everything.
Thanks for the good discussion.
Yeah, of course. And make sure that you guys, if you haven't already gone through here, looked at this resource. We got up to day 5, but it does bring us through all the way, you know, bringing you to the pitch, bringing you to the final reminder of doors are closing, and directly to that sale. And if you build something up like this, if you have that automated sales sequence where it's leading to that loss leader or leading to that no-brainer deal, for folks who don't like having to sell, This is the simplest, easiest, and most crazy evergreen way to continue to sell your services and make sure that money is coming in the door on a regular basis. It allows people to self-pace. It allows people to sign up and make sure that you are responding to them and being responsive to them while they're still kind of in that hot lead space. So definitely, you know, if you do nothing else on the no-brainer deal and getting to yes this month, I would think about how do you build this kind of automated funnel and what would the messaging be? Once you get to the how, come back and talk, and we'll talk about technology as well. Okay, any last things that we need to go over before we finish for the day?
I just want to say thank you real fast because I feel like I had my mind blown moment when you said that I don't need to actually sell anything in the emails and that it's okay to just like say hi.
Say hi, talk about your journey. I have a mentor and a very good friend who sends out emails. They're just plain text and they're just talking about her personal experiences in growing her agency, and that's it. And then, yeah, she sells all this other stuff, but she sends this once a week, like, here's something I tried in my agency and why it didn't work or why it did work. And those are emails that I make sure that I always open. So doesn't always have to be a sale, doesn't always have to have a call to action. Yay. Thank you, Taryn. Okay, and Nicholas says, Taryn, I used to send out what I've been up to this week years ago and just shared with friends, shared fun finds. And I always got emails back saying they were sitting down and having tea and cake and gossiping with me. That's awesome. That's a perfect example, Nicola. Thank you. Okay. Well, thank you all so much. To the new member, welcome. I didn't out you this time. You might get outed next time. I hope you come and tell everyone a lot about you. We're really excited to have you here. And certainly let us know in the Facebook group or at the hello@workingwithdog.com email if you have any questions at all. Susan, welcome to. Which Susan are you? I was assuming one Susan, but I think we have a few. Oh, Susan Green, yes. That too. We definitely need to get to that and get to help the group know you and love you like I do. So great chatting, everyone. Hopefully this has been helpful. I look forward to seeing you in the Facebook group and office hours, and we'll talk again soon. Bye.